I feel like that's the holy grail of somebody from Philadelphia. But man, I would have loved to see you in your brother's face. That had to be crazy.
Welcome to The Modern Hotelier. Both hosts were honored as top 100 influential people in hospitality. We're bringing you interviews with industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators who are shaping the future of hospitality. Whether you're a seasoned hotel professional or just stepping into the industry, our goal is to provide you with insights, knowledge, and trends that will empower you, the modern hotelier. Welcome to The Modern Hotelier. I'm your host, David Malilly.
I'm your co-host, Steve Caron.
And I'm the producer, John Boomhoffer.
Steve, tell the audience what we're going to be doing today.
Yeah, today we're going to mix it up a little bit and add a new segment here. We're calling it Hospitality Hot Takes, where we talk about what has happened in the industry over the past month to keep you up to date on what's going on. So the first one we have, one of the biggest stories over the past month, was Graduate Hotels being bought by Hilton for $210 million. AJ Capital is going to remain the owner of the 35 operating and the pipeline as well, but they all will be managed long-term under the Hilton franchise agreement. David, I am going to let you take the first crack at this one. What do you think?
Yeah, so for me, being an independent guy, love Graduate Hotels. I've stayed at several of them, love the brand. Just don't like seeing another independent, strong group get rolled into one of the big giants. You know, LinkedIn's very active with people having comments and pros and cons. And, you know, to the ownership group, you know, it's business. But for me, as a guy, when I first came to New York, it was mostly independents and only a couple Marriotts, a couple Hiltons. And now there's more brands than independents. So for me, you know, congratulations to them, but a little sad to see another one go.
Yeah, I have a similar take on this one. Congrats to Kevin and the team. I mean, absolutely great for the sale. Good for you all. Happy for you. But again, as an independent guy, really kind of stinks to see another independent group, especially the size of this one. And I feel like they have such a good culture with the colleges, and it's such a unique experience that it'll kind of be a bummer to see them go to a brand. So what do you think it's going to take for a hotel, independent hotel group, to stay independent and not, I don't want to say sell out, but not move to a brand?
I think with the way technology's evolved, I don't think that's really going to be sustainable, probably. You've seen it happen quicker in the US than in other areas, but I think that this is probably a trend that's going to be around for a long time. I think, you know, when you look at loyalty, you look at technology stack, things of that nature, I think. And just again, like I said earlier, just the economics of it, it's always different when you're the guy who someone wants to hand you a check.
And that's the thing. I think it's going to actually have to take somebody who, I don't want to say doesn't care about money, but almost has a higher level of passion for the independent side than, you know, that big paycheck that can come out from the sale. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts on this one as well.
So second topic, a friend of the show, Chip Rogers, has just recently resigned from AHLA. I'll let you start with that one, Steve. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of love it. The reason being is he's going to pursue, it sounds like, a passion of his, other professional interests. So, I mean, as a 36-year-old, I kind of love that he has left this corporate, more corporate position and almost went to follow his passion, which I love that. And Chip is an amazing human, and he was so good and did so many wonderful things at AHLA. I don't think anybody will dispute that. So it is very sad to see him go, but I love he's pursuing his passion. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think, you know, Chip had a really tough job. I don't think we realized until we had him on the show that there's a real strong, you know, legislation piece of that job and, you know, the legalese. I was talking to a good friend of mine and I said, hey, you should take this. You should go. And they said, there's no way I'm going to try to replace a legend. So that was, you know, that kind of summed it up. So, you know, I think he's, you know, look, that role is always going to keep going. But I think for him, like you said, mission accomplished, and he's now going on to something that he's passionate about.
Yeah. And you mentioned the stress of that role with like AHLA on the road, all the travel that's involved on top of that legislation. you got some big shoes to fill, whoever is going in there. And did want to give a shout out to Kevin Carey as well. He is stepping into that position along with his current role of senior executive VP and CEO. So congratulations to Kevin. He's got quite a bit on his plate now, but excited to see what he does in this new role as well. So congrats to Chip and excited to see what happens next. So this was actually exciting. One thing that was such a big topic over the past year was labor shortage. A couple reports came out, one by ADP talking about how 140,000 jobs were added last month. And out of those 140,000, hospitality actually led the way with 41,000. And AHLA Foundation actually did a research and found that the hotel industry grew at 12%. They projected the hotel industry to grow at 12% over the next 5 years compared to the national average of 8%. So it seems like we've got more jobs than any other industry in the past month and a really good outlook for the next 5 years from the AHLA Foundation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so look, like I said, we on our show, we had a question outside of labor shortage. What was the biggest concern you had for our industry? And I don't think we had one person who could answer that question without talking about the labor shortage issue. So when you look at, obviously it's not a business, but numbers are numbers. So you look and say, wow, you know, last month was a strong month, growth, and now, you know, hospitality is projected to outpace, as you said, you know, 12% versus the national average of 8%. So things are trending in the right direction. And hopefully, you know, as we've spoken to people, we can continue to, lure or attract people back into hospitality post-COVID.
And I'm curious, I wonder if, you know, out of those numbers, how many of those folks are the ones coming back into hospitality from the ones that left during COVID? So that's one thing I'd be curious about. I think we had Rachel Humphrey on earlier in the month, and she brought up she said how the hospitality industry isn't a career path, it's an industry, but you can really do anything you want inside the hospitality industry, sales, marketing, you know, whatever you want to do, you can really do that in the hospitality industry. And I don't know if more people are finding that out or, you know, travel is kind of becoming sexy again now that we can do it, or if that's bringing people back in, but exciting to say that nonetheless.
Yeah. So this is, you know, the next topic we're going to talk about, I guess, is it's interesting because we're showing that employment is on the rise in hospitality. But there was an article that came out that spring travel in the U.S. was on the decline this year. And I'll let you kick that one off with your thoughts on why you think that is. I know they gave some data in there, but I'm sure you have some of your own thoughts.
Yeah, man. So here's one thing. I was thinking about this and, you know, Miami, they got stricter on spring break. And I wonder if that's one of the things that kind of caused it. I saw in this article that spring break, Memorial Day weekend was the most popular time to travel. But I also think travelers now are just becoming a little bit more budget conscious, where they're not just going to go somewhere during Memorial Day weekend because that's a time to go. They're going to look more for the deals that they can find and the more of the experiences that are there. And, you know, I know a lot of people still like to go out and party during spring break, but if you do look at the younger generation, they're just not into partying and drinking as much as kind of the previous generations. So I also wonder if that has something to do with it as well. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, part of it, you know, if I were to guess, I would think that a lot of people kind of, you know, are somewhat over the revenge travel phase. So one of the interesting things in the article was that although there's a slowdown in the spring, later in the year, it looks like the travel is stronger. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, the demand was so pent up post-COVID that eventually you're going to have to kind of level off a little bit. And I think that's what happened along with what you said. I think I agree 100% with what you said.
And you're dead on. I was looking at the numbers. This year, it was 55% of people were taking a trip during the spring. Last year, you brought up revenge travel. It was at 65%. But the year before that, 2022, it was 56%. So we're pretty much right where we were a couple years ago. So we'll see. We'll see what happens the rest of the year. We're going to bring John back in again. We got to bring him in for the last question here. So One thing that we heard was that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are opening their own restaurant in a Lowe's hotel in Kansas City. Apparently, it's going to be a steakhouse, I believe. What do you guys think about this? And have you ever been to a restaurant like that was by a professional athlete that you really enjoyed?
It's always interesting to me when athletes or anybody does that, because it just seems so outside of what you see them do. But I grew up in Michigan. I'd go to Tigers games all the time. And Chris Chelios is a Detroit Red Wing legend. And he opened called Chelly's Chili Bar. And it was like right across the street from Comerica Park. So like as a teenager, when I'd go to watch the Tigers, there were a couple times we went to his restaurant, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super good, but unfortunately it doesn't exist anymore.
See, he's a Wisconsin boy too. So he went to Wisconsin. So I would have loved that one. What about you, David?
Yeah. So for me, I was fortunate. So my career led me to New York in the early 90s when Giuliani and the Yankees and the city as a whole was turning around. Times Square was being rejuvenated. I worked at a hotel that was west of Broadway, and people said, oh, it's dangerous. I won't go west of Broadway. So at that time, this is probably 95, 96, there was a huge restaurant called All-Star Cafe. I should have looked up who was there, but one of the owners was just all sports people, tennis players, basketball players. And just a quick story, Sylvester Stallone was one of the owners, and I'm from outside Philly, so we're all big Rocky fans. My family came in, and the booths were big baseball gloves. And they're playing Rocky stuff. And we're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And we turn over and Sylvester Stallone is standing right next to our booth. And wow. At that time, my brothers were a lot younger. I have three younger brothers. And my parents were just like in awe. But it failed miserably. Went out of business. And, it's interesting. You know, the Mahomes and Kelce, for me, real quick, is just, if they get the right people involved. You know, sometimes it's a very glamorous. Hotels followed by restaurants probably are two of the most glamorous kind of type things you can own outside of a sports team. And obviously they're already in sports. So if they get the right people, they're in a Lowe's hotel, which helps. You know, you've got Don Shula, which, has had restaurants in hotels and a hotel. So they're at least putting it somewhere that makes sense inside a hotel, I think.
I agree. I would have loved to see the reaction of a Philadelphia family meeting Sylvester Stallone. I feel like that's the holy grail of somebody from much. Philadelphia. But man, I would have loved to see you and your brother's face. That had to be crazy. I've been to, like, Michael Jordan has his restaurant in Chicago. The one that I was in Wisconsin. It was 812 MVP. It was around the Milwaukee area, and it was Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Braun's. They went in on it together, and it was cool. Had a ton of memorabilia. It didn't last long. This was right before the steroid saga with Ryan Braun. So they weren't too good of friends after that. So then it got just rebranded, and I think Aaron Rodgers took it over. But that actually, I think, won a couple awards. It had some of the best food. It was really, really good. But yeah, I would love to go see to this restaurant. I'm a football fan. I'd love to see the memorabilia that they're going to have. But David, I agree. It's going to be about the service. And I'm curious, who they're hiring for the food, if they're going to bring in somebody famous or if it's going to be more about the experience than the food. But,
yeah,
but
and we'll John, see. you did a little research. So why don't you tell everyone what's the number one sports restaurant?
Yeah, so I pulled up the top 20, according to the USA Today, top 20 best athlete-owned restaurants. And the winner is... It is John Elway's restaurant in Denver called Elway's.
Yes. Being outside of Denver, it's a pretty popular one. I haven't been there yet. Might have to go check it out and let you know how it goes. What was one of the what was the lowest one on that
list? Well, so it's the top 20, so I guess I would assume they're all pretty good. But number 20, right. Let's see, is 812 MVP Bar and Grill.
Well,
let me check. And look at that.
Yeah, let me check the date of this.
I was just going to say that.
This is from 2013, so I could have found maybe more up-to-date information, but that was the first thing that I popped up when I Googled it. So this might be a little out of date, but...
It's only a decade old. Yeah. But that's...
only a decade.
Yeah. Only a decade.
Here's my last question, though. Historic hot topics. Sure. Here's my last question for you. Are there any, because I'm not aware of any, are there athlete-owned hotels that you're aware of?
None that I can think of. I know there's a few actors.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like entertainers, the hotel mm-hmm. side, for whatever reason, there's more of a draw to that. And maybe it's not that it's too big, but I mean, like the difference between, you know, being an investor or having your own hotel versus having a restaurant, maybe that's just a little too much for them. I don't know. And you think about it, the sports players probably just love to eat.
The
other thing as well is they're traveling so much. Think about like baseball players, how much time they spend in hotels. And then they see how not only maybe they, but their friends treat the hotels they stay in. And they are like, there is no way I am dealing with my friends staying in my hotel.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is likely you would assume people with that amount of wealth, because you know, they get paid very well, that it would probably be part of their portfolio, but it wouldn't be as flashy or to say I own, you know, as opposed to saying Travis and Kelsey are partnering for this restaurant that they can put their name on, as opposed to like, oh, I own, you know, a couple of whatever, you know, branded hotels.
I totally agree. Well, thank you for tuning in to our first episode of Hospitality Hot Topics. If you have any recommendations or anything you see throughout the month that you want us to talk about, feel free to send us an email at hello@themodernhotelier.com or shoot us a message on LinkedIn and we will talk to you then. But thank you for tuning in and have a great week. You made it to the end of The Modern Hotelier. Thanks for listening. The Modern Hotelier is produced by Make More Media. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you know a guest or sponsor that would be a good fit, feel free to email us at hello@themodernhotelier.com. If you'd like to get some Modern Hotelier merch, click the merch button on modernhotelier.com or click the link below. Thanks and have a great day.